Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, everyone. It's Margaret. If you've been enjoying Mortal Minority Month, there's another podcast from the Eerios Network I think you'll love. It's called Web Crawlers, hosted by internet sleuths Ali Siegel and Melissa Stetton. They investigate unsolved mysteries like UFO sightings and disappearances. Subscribe to Web Crawlers wherever you listen to podcasts.
An Eerios original.
It's so crazy that, I mean, there aren't more comedian criminals.
Yeah, that are using their lifestyle on the road to a criminal advantage,
right.
I guess. Yeah,
yeah, but
what if there was a bank robbing comedian, you know?
Ooh.
Every club they went to in every city, they would also rob a bank with a mask or something.
Oh, yeah. That would be interesting. Welcome to The Margaret Show, where we talk to people you know and people you should know. It's Mortal Minority Month, and today we are talking to great friend of the show, Brent Weinbach, about Issei Sagawa. I say your name on this podcast like 2 times almost every episode.
No.
At least once. And
no.
Sometimes 2 times. And then
really?
I saw Bart in San Francisco, and I
Coleman?
Said that no. Bart Davenport. And we talked about you.
Of course, yeah.
And we should go see him.
Yeah. Oh, is he playing in Los Angeles soon?
I don't know, but he usually is. I have to look on his Instagram, because he usually does, like, he has Bart and the Bedazzled, mm-hmm. and then he'll, like, play with other people.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Well, let's go see him.
Yeah,
let's
we should
it.
Go see him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, it's like, because now I talked about him, and I talked about you with him, and now I've talked to you about him.
Uh-huh.
So then,
so now I have to talk to him about you,
right?
Or we, or something
yeah,
like that.
Because it's like,
and then we all have to talk about each other with each
with
other.
Each other.
Yeah,
I think that would be the best. Did you have a good time in San Francisco? You went after me.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, I was really sick, you know. So
right again.
Yeah. No, I mean, what do you mean?
Well, you went. No, when we were in Oakland.
For some reason, I just was thinking about the Oakland show when you said that. Even though there's a big difference between Oakland and
San
Francisco.
Well, it's been a couple of weeks.
Okay. No, actually, no, it was fine. I did have a good time. Yeah, I went the week after you, and it was good. Mm-hmm. Shows were good. But yeah, it was good.
Did you do stand-up comedy?
Yeah,
there?
I was doing a full set. That was like my main show there.
Uh-huh.
Is just doing... a longer set.
Yes. I had a good time.
What did you do?
I did a couple of shows with Bart, with our band, the Red Room Orchestra.
Yeah.
And I sang Roy Orbison's Crying and Brand New Key, the Melanie Sofka key, and then also Spill the Wine, the Eric Burdon song with War. And then I also sang Bebopalula, Gene Vincent. And Bart sang, he was so good. He did Don't Go to New Orleans, Baby Don't Go to New Orleans. But he would point at each individual audience telling that particular member not to go to New Orleans. Don't you go.
Yeah.
Don't you go.
He's a good performer.
I like that, when he individually points out and says, don't you go to New Orleans. Don't you go. And then he took his time with that. And then he also did a really, really stirring rendition of Boogie Shoes, the Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Okay, yeah.
He's really good. Bart's really good at all the, like, all the disco, too.
He's good, great at doing covers, and his original stuff is so good, and he's just a great, he's one of the best musicians.
He's so good.
He's a good musician and a good songwriter.
Yeah.
Everything. If I could, if I ever get to do my dream TV show, I want him to do the theme song.
That would be great.
Yeah.
What is your dream TV show?
To do a family sitcom.
I think
that's
a good idea.
Like a multi-cam family sitcom.
That's a good idea.
Like a very classic 80s style family sitcom, but the dad is me is the only thing that's wrong with it, is that the dad is me, but everything else is as conventional as you would imagine, is as archetypal as you know, as possible for an 80s style sitcom, but the dad is the wrong casting choice. It's me.
Why is that wrong, though?
Well, because it just... the sensibility that I would bring to it would be in stark contrast to the sensibility and aesthetic of everything else, you know?
Right.
So, but I also, I like family sitcoms from the 80s, too.
Right.
I mean, I love them.
Mm-hmm.
So, there would be good family sitcom comedy in it, but then there would also be whatever I do in there as well, and then there would also be the clashing of that, and also the... sort of the postmodern element as well, and recreating that kind of aesthetic.
I love that.
As an additional layer of comedy.
I think that's a great idea. And I think that...
I would want a classic sitcom theme, and I think he would be really good at that.
Because he would do a good job, because what you have to do with those themes is you have to tell the story of the show in the 45 seconds or 1 minute.
Yeah, or even 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, of what it is. And so that's the challenge, is that you have to give, like, the log line, or the one sort of, like, sentence that encapsulates what the show is.
Yeah, and I, and also, and do it in a way that's not as, in a way that where it could be a song that someone could just listen to on the radio, though.
Too. Yeah.
I like those theme songs where they do describe what the show is kind of about, but it's also, they don't, it's not super specific.
Right.
You know? I mean, it's not exactly telling you the plot of the story or the premise of the show, but it's, but there's, it almost could be a song that you hear on the radio.
Well,
you
like the Cheers. To,
Cheers. Yeah,
like Cheers is like where everybody knows your name. So it's perfect.
And so they're not saying, you know, this song, this is, this show is, you know, it's not about a, I mean, this is a, I mean, that song could be not about the TV show. It could be about something else, too.
Right.
That's kind of cool.
Or know? Like on the MASH theme with Suicide is Painless.
Yeah, Suicide is Painless. Yeah. I didn't Robert Altman's son write that or something like that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think, I want to say, like, I don't know. I hope I'm not spreading false information here, but somebody's son, and I think it was Robert Altman's son, wrote the wrote that song and wrote the lyrics, and he was 17 or something like that.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, and he's writing the song about war veterans and stuff, you know, or whatever.
Wow.
And Cheers was written by a guy named Gary Portnoy, who also did the theme to Mr. Belvedere.
Oh.
And also, he didn't sing it. Because Leon Redbone sang it.
Mm-hmm.
But he wrote it, and he also wrote one of my favorite, probably my second favorite TV show theme of all time, the Punky Brewster song.
I can't recall it. How
it goes, you know, da 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 da. Maybe the world is in da 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 da. Just a da 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 da. Oh, da 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 da. Every time I turn around, da 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 da. You know that song? It's really good. Anyway, I mean, I probably made it sound not good just now, but
you know, it sounds it's like the Marseillaise when you the French national anthem.
Oh, it did?
A little bit, yeah.
Really?
But I don't know.
Interesting.
But I think Bart would do a very good job in doing your song.
I think he has that classic sensibility. He does. You know, and I like that, you know?
There's something of the Brill Building, you know, that kind of like, you know, those 60s songwriters who would like write all the things, like they wrote, like Carole King wrote like all those songs from the Monkees.
Uh-huh.
Or
okay.
like a Harry, there's a Harry
Carole
Nilsson.
Carole King wrote songs from the Monkees?
Yeah, she okay. wrote Pleasant Valley Sunday.
Okay.
And she wrote quite a few songs. Her and Jerry Goff and her husband at the time, they working at the Braille Building, they wrote quite a few of the Monkey songs. And Harry Nilsson also would be that's sort of a Bart Davenport kind of somebody that I think of when I think of Bart Davenport.
Sure. So yeah.
Singer-songwriter.
Actually, this guy, Garrett Portnoy, he had an album that came out prior to him writing TV show themes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... some of it sounds like Bart Davenport. His voice sounds like Bart Davenport.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's interesting.
But that's somebody... Bart is just... He's so classic. He's
really classic.
I just love classic songwriting.
I do too. And I love it.
I like 70s, 80s songwriting.
I've been listening a lot to Paul Williams. I've rediscovered the Paul Williams catalog.
Yeah.
He's so good.
He's the best, yeah.
I
love that song Faust from
Phantom of the
Phantom of the Paradise.
Yeah.
And the Rainbow Connection is like a favorite.
Such a beautiful song. There's so much heart, but the chords are weird because they're like lots of sharps and lots of like sustained chords. So they kind of ask a lot of questions in the song.
Oh yeah. Okay.
There's sort of a lot of like philosophical
Rainbow
questions.
Connection?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Lots
of
philosophical questions are asked, sort of by the notes. But he's very good.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
He's very good.
He's what an interesting looking guy, huh? I mean, especially in that movie,
Phantom of the Paradise.
He's so kind of
he's swan.
Bizarre. Yeah.
He's a sex symbol in that movie.
Yeah, I guess so, huh?
Because he wears a lot of like sort of these Art Nouveau suits and rings.
Yeah, yeah.
Lots of rings.
His hair, too, everything. His
shag hair.
He's a short guy, too, right?
Yeah, he's a smaller gentleman.
Yeah.
And and in the movie, it's a Brian De Palma movie.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is such an odd thing.
Actually, that movie made me understand Brian De Palma because I didn't quite understand why Scarface was as popular as it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then watching Phantom of the Paradise, I realized that Brian De Palma is about being over the top.
Right.
And he's about, that's just his whole thing. His aesthetic is just, everything is just really loud, you know? And I, after watching Phantom of the Paradise, I had a newfound appreciation for Scarface and other movies. And even movies like Casualties of War, which one might not even think is over the top. I think it is. It's just so hardcore, you know? And it's so kind of, so dark and depressing, but I kind of get that now,
And over the top.
It's over the top
over
what
the
they
top.
Do to the woman in that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's crazy. The Phantom of the Paradise, I get kind of lumped in with like those like Tommy
it's totally it's very similar to that.
Kind of like big rock musicals of like the 70s.
Very colorful,
or even kind of spacey, like maybe Rocky Horror Picture Show
certainly.
That's kind of campy, spacey.
Yeah.
Those are not Brian De Palma films.
But Phantom of the Paradise, that's it's a darker.
Right.
Darker than those other movies,
and
though Rocky Horror Picture Show, you would think it's kind of got that campy horror thing, but it's dark. It's certainly darker. Yeah,
yeah, definitely darker.
But
it's like a horror, but like a rock horror, which I like.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, and then this is Brian De Palma movie. Did you ever see that movie Greetings? It's one of his first movies. It might be his second movie, and I think it's Robert De Niro's first movie.
Wow.
And but it's very, I think it came out in 69 or something maybe. Mm. And it's very, it's got that kind of late 60s kind of 70s
I have to
feeling,
see that
you know
I have to see that yeah I haven't
it's okay I mean yeah, I mean, yeah it's all right yeah I mean what's his, Robert De Niro plays a sort of, I don't know, creep or something. That's good.
But it's I like those early like Robert De Niro movies. Well, I love Taxi Driver and all those like great like early Robert De Niro movies are great. So exciting.
Yeah, he's great to watch. Robert De Niro, he looks cool too, you know, mm-hmm. in the 70s. He looks cool.
He looks really cool.
I wanted to look like him when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in high school, I tried to dress like him,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to kind of, in Taxi Driver, mm-hmm. particularly.
Yeah.
He looked cool. I mean, before he shaves, gives himself the mohawk, he looks cool, I think.
Yeah, he looks very handsome and very, I mean, it like the army jacket. I like the mohawk too. Looks good.
Did you ever have a mohawk?
No, I think I had like shaved side, but never full mohawk.
Yeah.
Did you?
No. I've had the same hairstyle since I was born. I was born with gray hair and, you know, like this kind of bristle pad on my head. No, I'm just kidding. But I've never had it. I never went through any phases.
No punk rock phase?
No. I mean, I hung out with punk rock kids in high school, but I never went. I've always been the same. I don't change.
Do you ever go through a true crime phase? No.
Was I ever criminalistic?
No. Okay. But like very interested in true crime as a...
Because that's a segment that's sort of coming, segueing into
what
a segment
we're going
that
to
you
do today.
Show. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, well, certainly. I mean, I wouldn't say it was a phase where I was obsessed with watching, you know, unsolved mysteries or whatever or stuff. But I mean, you know, I watch. I mean, I check stuff out. Yeah,
you do.
I mean, I think human interest stories are interesting, and I think that falls into that category, kind of.
Do you remember, this is before your time, but this there was a comedian named Vince Champ, who is a rapist.
I think I saw him once at the Improv.
Yeah.
Is he dead now, maybe?
I believe he's still alive.
But I remember somebody saying that guy was... Was he convicted?
He's rapist? Convicted rapist, yeah.
Yeah, I think someone said he was... someone kind of whispered to me.
Yeah.
This was probably in the mid-2000s or something. I saw... Right. It was a get-together of comedians, and there was... And I saw him, and someone was sitting there, and that name rings a bell. Anyway, yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah. He was a serial rapist who was raping women, and he would say something to them, and then... This woman was listening to the morning radio, and she heard him, and she heard the voice that he used, and she realized that was the man that raped her. So she called the police.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's,
and he
crazy.
Would go on the road, and he would rape women all along his gig route.
I heard, you know, I did hear about, somebody was telling me, somebody like Brian Posehn or Pat Oswalt was telling me about, talking about this guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I saw him once at the Improv. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's so crazy that, I mean, there aren't more comedian criminals.
That are using their lifestyle on the road to a criminal advantage,
right?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, but
what if there was a bank robbing comedian, you know?
Ooh.
And they every club they went to in every city, they would also rob a bank with a mask or something.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
That would be...
I mean...
That would be interesting.
It would be kind of something to think
that
about.
Would be...
something to talk about in another episode, if that happened. Hopefully, yeah.
Well, this episode, I wanted to talk to you about, this is a very interesting case. It's a guy named Issei Sagawa.
Wait, quick question.
Yes.
Do you know about this guy, Vince? Vince Champ, his name is, yeah?
Vince Champ.
Do you know if he, who he would rape?
I think it was, he did rape women on college campuses. So I believe they were like college students.
And he would perform at the colleges too?
I think so, yes. So that was part of it. And then also the way he got caught was the woman was listening to the radio and she heard him. But the other thing was the police saw his tour schedule, and then the crimes had occurred all throughout the places he was on tour with.
That is, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is so crazy, yeah.
It's so crazy, but it's just like, I'm glad that the woman was, you know, able to hear him, you know, like could hear, it was like a character voice that he did, but he also did it when he was raping the woman.
That's crazy too.
Yeah.
But just out of curiosity, excuse me, did he, do you know what kind of rape context it was? I mean,
I don't know. I think he... It seems like he was, I don't know if he was like breaking in or...
So he would break in and just violently, you know, and hold them down or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
It was not a drugging or a...
I don't believe
kind of a date rape or something like
no,
that.
No, no.
Wow, that's crazy.
I think
crazy.
He was, it was actually
so just,
like...
Wow, invade, it was just a full...
Like something like that.
Yeah, wow.
But very strange. But this person that we're talking about,
by the way, since
today,
you're just out of curiosity, sorry, to deviate, but am I right about the Robert Altman's son thing, or writing a suicide is painless, or no, I don't know, whatever.
I didn't find that, but this guy is still alive.
Oh, Vince Champ.
Oh, Vince Champ.
Yes.
Because he won, she got caught because he won Star Search.
Oh.
And he was on Star Search, and that's how he got big. And
he wouldn't.
Oh, wow.
He wouldn't hide his face.
He would cover their heads, ask about their sexual history. And then it was often anal sex.
Anal.
That's, yeah. Star Search.
Star Search, yeah. Search, anal, and Star Search, yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Wow. Okay, this is Issei Sagawa.
Okay,
and
yeah.
This happened on June 11th, 1981. And this happened in Paris. And Issei Sagawa is he was living in Paris. He's a student, and he had a fellow student that he had a crush on named Renee Hartvelt. And he invited her back to his apartment. And he, you know, he had some, like, designs on her. He always had issues with women. Once when he was 24, he followed a woman home with the intent of leaving the place with a piece of her flesh. And but the woman held him down, and the police arrested him for rape. So this was in Tokyo. But at 27, he moved to France and was at the Sorbonne, where he met Renee Hartvelt. So he invited Renee back to his apartment. And when she was there, he shot her. And then he had sex with her body and began to cut and eat different parts of her body.
Oh, gosh.
Photographing at every stage.
Photographing?
Yeah, wow. Parts of her body.
Provide
so
people with evidence.
After a few days, he put the parts of her body into a suitcase, which he planned to dump into a river. But when he on his way there, some people saw him with the suitcases, and he noticed they were looking, and he just ran away and left the suitcases there. And then so then the couple opened the suitcases and they called the police.
Wow.
So he ended up being caught at, you know, of course, and then was waiting trial. And then he was found to be insane. And then he was held at a mental institution. And then they deported him back to Japan, where once he got to Japan, they found him sane, which I think is weird. But they were able to set him free. So he never really... he never really, you know, kind of paid for his crimes there.
Right.
But I think cannibalism is one of those things.
He's out there still then.
He's out there.
Uh-huh.
Now he's become a minor celebrity in Japan. He's appeared on films, been on TV as a commentator.
Really?
On crimes. Isn't that weird that you would just talk about?
How did this not ruin his life? Or
I don't know.
I mean, it's in some, like, twisted way refreshing to see people giving somebody a second chance, I guess. But it didn't seem like he really did he learn a lesson? I don't know
because he doesn't seem like
he redeem himself in any way.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be sorry.
Yes,
you know,
right.
Like I think that if you do that, you should be sorry, right?
Well, certainly it should be something that plagues him for the rest of his life, mentally, you know,
right.
At least, at the very least. I mean, it should be served some time to some extent, I think, right?
Very strange...
That's a strong crime. I mean, that's a heavy crime.
So I remember, like, part of his story growing up, he was very small. He's 4'8". But when he was a little kid, his parents or his relatives would joke with him by putting him in like a soup pot because he was so small. And I think part of that may have sort of either traumatized him or made him want to be eaten or to eat others.
Oh,
I don't know.
Wow.
I've never been put in a soup pot.
That's interesting. Yeah, maybe he was a kid when that happened, the soup pot.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that had some sort of, yeah, psychological effect on him where he thought that he was going to be eaten, and so in some way of owning that or something, he had to eat other
people. Eat somebody
else.
You know,
something, yeah, or it was like some sort of defense thing or something like that. Yeah, that's weird. Yeah.
I don't know. I think about cannibalism sometimes. Like, I think about
if you could do it.
Well, say if like you're like the Uruguayan soccer team who got crashed in the Andes, and then they were trying to get out, but they didn't have any food, and they were trying to get the strength to get out, so they would start eating the people who had died.
Yeah,
I think that I would probably be okay with that.
Yeah, I think if it was cooked.
I mean, I don't know.
If it was
yeah.
cooked well enough, and it was, I mean, I guess human flesh is probably, or whatever, or muscle is probably not that different from cow muscle or mm-hmm. Or whatever, or flesh or whatever, or right. I guess muscle, I guess is what it is.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, right? Or is it similar to animal meat, I guess?
Yeah.
Human meat. So if it was, you know, if it was cool morally, you know, or if well, there was I like mean, a moral, the, if it was, if it felt like it was a reasonable, there was a reasonable reason to do it, I could sort of maybe see myself doing that. Yeah.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Huh. Yeah, like if you like, if you're in a situation where, like I just watched The Terror, you know that there's a TV show about these guys who are on the looking for the Northwest Passage through Antarctica or Canada through the Arctic Circle. Okay. So in the 1860s, they're trying to find a way from England to through to Asia, trying to get there through the Arctic Circle or whatever.
Oh.
So they tried to go through and they were trapped there, mm-hmm. and so then they ended up having to resort to cannibalism because that was the only food that was available.
Yeah,
and I think like yeah, if you're just in a situation where if you don't eat somebody, you might die.
Yeah.
That seems like I would be fine with that.
I think I could do it too.
Yeah.
I think I'd go in on that.
Yeah, I don't think I would feel bad either because it's like, well, we have to do this.
Yeah.
Or like the Donner Party. The Donner Party right. Definitely like they just couldn't, there was nothing else that they could eat.
I mean, I would have trouble eating it raw, I would think.
You just want it cooked.
Well, I think I'd have to somehow get a fire going or something and get it cooked because well, I just wouldn't want to eat any raw meat. I mean,
yeah.
Well, then again, I guess we do eat. I mean, I eat raw fish sometimes.
Yeah, sushi.
Sure. So
that might be. I mean,
seems like that's special. That's special.
That's
raw.
A situation.
That's a special raw fish, though.
Or like ceviche.
If they, I love the idea of ceviche, but it has onions in it most of the time. And
oh,
I don't eat onions.
Oh, you don't eat.
Yeah.
Do you not eat allium, like garlic or?
All alliums I try to avoid.
Okay.
Yeah, so garlic and onions.
Okay.
A lot of times people think that fennel falls under the category of alliums, but it's not. Fennel,
well,
I like.
Yeah, I guess it. I mean, it's sort of like, I guess it's a similar bulb shape.
People think, yeah, it looks kind of similar, but it's not. It's not
allium. The same. I understand that, like, sometimes, like, garlic and onions can be, they stay with you.
That, for me, that's why I think I have a particular sensitivity because it stays with me for 24 hours.
Yeah, it's gross.
And it's weird because it affects me in a weird way where you can smell it on me, too,
mm-hmm.
where somebody else who eats that stuff, you won't be able to really smell it on them, or even after a few hours, you won't be able to smell it on them, but you smell it on me after a few hours. So I have a particular sensitivity to alliums.
Yeah, I find it unpleasant to eat. I mean, it's like, I get that thing, because it's kind of mentholated. There's something about it that's kind of, that seems
it's
to have
strong.
Like a vapor.
Yeah, well, it's an they're aromatics, right?
Yeah,
or something?
Yeah.
It's so strong that it overpowers everything else to me.
Right.
And I don't like it. And I used to like garlic, but I feel actually kind of ill when I have it.
Because it's very
maybe
strong
I have
and it's kind of like, yeah, you might have an allergy to it.
Yeah, maybe so. But actually maybe, yeah, I don't know. But what was I going to say? You know about the Ayurvedic diet?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool. Yeah.
It is.
It's just, I mean... I've always dreamed of going to a restaurant. In fact, I even kind of thought as a joke to open up my own restaurant called No Onions, where you don't have to ask. You know, it's just you,
you
know,
just don't have to ask.
You have to, it's nice to go to a place where just you don't even have to ask.
Yeah, they're not going to fuck with it.
It's just you can just eat it and feel free about it. You know,
because the thing about onions is that nobody thinks that anybody's going to be offended by it, but it's offensive.
It is a very polarizing food, mm-hmm. and yet it's in a lot of stuff. It should always be an optional thing, I think.
Yeah,
because it's so polarizing, and yet sometimes it's in a lot of stuff, and you can't get out of it. And ceviche, I love the idea of ceviche, and I sort of had some ceviche in some kind of way. But if there was no onions, I would be much more.
Yeah,
you know,
there's always onions though in ceviche. You can't. Yeah. I mean,
well,
it's like almost
for the most
always.
Part, it's very rare, but I think you can sometimes find some non-onion ceviche.
Well,
I
if you went to No Onions.
Yeah, then I gotta open up No Onions.
You have to open up No Onions. Wait, is Ayurvedic No Onions?
Ayurvedic is no garlic or onions.
No alliums. Or nightshades?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's chives and it's, you know, I mean, green onions. But there's no onions or garlic in Ayurvedic diet. And that's what, so if you go to an Ayurvedic restaurant, that is kind of like no, you don't have to ask.
That would be like no onions.
That's kind of very liberating because you can go there and eat whatever you want.
But when we ate together on New Year's Eve, it felt like there was onions in it and you ate it.
Actually, it didn't say there were onions in that avocado citrus salad that we had.
Yeah.
And then it didn't say that there was onions, but then I felt like I was tasting it and I didn't like that because it made me eat onions.
It seemed like there
but
was
also,
onions.
But also, I was having trouble tasting stuff anyway at that time because
you were sick.
Sick, yeah.
And
you were bold enough to sit next to me.
I didn't get sick from you.
Good.
I did, but I did get sick 2 weeks ago. I got really sick, and I was so sick that I almost called 911.
Oh my!
I wanted to call 911,
really?
And then I fell asleep.
And you didn't think it was a delayed response to me. You weren't thinking, "Damn, I should not have sat."
No, because it was a different kind of sick. I think I shit a little bit on the floor, but I was
did
just
you?
Like, "Yeah, just a little."
How did that happen?
Well, I was like on the way. I was like sick, kind of like the flu sick, but then like I was like on the way from the toilet to the bed.
Yeah,
and I think some fell out, and
really?
I wasn't aware. And then I stepped on it, and that's when I was made aware.
Oh, my God, you stepped on it?
Yeah.
Wait, how did it, what were you wearing?
I was wearing a bathrobe, and I think it just fell out.
It fell out without kind of hitting the robe?
It felt, your leg, or anything? Yeah, it was like a free
fall.
It was
a clean drop.
It was like a free fall, like about 2 or 3 inch small turd that I stepped on.
It's crazy to me that it made it through the robe, unless it was it a high-cut robe?
No, it was just like a regular bathrobe.
So you were nude underneath the robe, and then
it just kind of dropped.
Wow, I can't believe it missed the robe.
I know,
that's what's really crazy.
Got
the clean drop,
and then it was on the floor, and then I stepped on it. But
when you stepped on it, what did you think?
Well, it was dried at that point.
Oh, really?
So I thought it was Lucia, my dog.
Oh yeah,
but then I realized no, it couldn't be because it was mine. But I also was I don't know. I mean, I could tell that because hers are very like shaped in her way.
Oh yeah,
they're sharp like her. Also, this was shaped like somebody else's asshole. But the only other asshole in this house is mine.
Yeah,
so it must have been mine.
Oh, you don't recognize the shape of your own poo?
No, because it's always different.
Yeah. Wait, what kind of poo was this? Was it?
It was like a semi-solid. It was like a piece, but not a turd, because it was loose. So it was like a square almost.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
but it just fell. And but yeah, I was really sick. I think it was like stomach, maybe it was not sick, but food poisoning.
You had a fever?
Yeah, but maybe food poisoning.
And you thought about calling the...
And I almost called 911 because I was really, really sick, but then I fell asleep. And so then I woke up and that was much better.
Yeah.
But
that
kind
of reminds
awful.
Me of this one time when I was in Romania.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the town of Brașov, which is the kind of provincial capital of Transylvania.
Mm.
And so I all of a sudden had to go number two, and the elevator was broken, and I was running up to my room, my hotel room. And hotel rooms are really cheap. I usually, at the time, I was staying in youth hostels most of the time, but in this case, it was a hotel. And I finally made it. I sat down on the toilet, I made it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there, and I thought, wow, I made it. And then I looked over, and I saw there was poo on the floor. And I thought, what? How did that happen? And I thought, wait, I guess this came out before I
oh, no.
What happened? But I looked at my pants and everything clean.
Yeah.
I looked at everything clean.
Uh-huh.
So somehow, just as I was probably pulling my pants down and in the process of sort of you know, I don't know, turning around and sitting on the toilet, it came out before I actually had sat down on the toilet, but fortunately, completely clean. Mm. I didn't hit anything that I didn't want it hitting. Wow. You know? So I was lucky, but it was crazy because it did come out a little bit before I actually was on the toilet. So it was kind of like you.
Very similar.
It was a little bit different because you were coming from the bathroom, right? Yeah. I was going to it, but.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think maybe mine was like, I was done shitting, but I was sick, so I wasn't done. I thought I was done, but I wasn't. And when I got up, whatever was there fell off and then fell on the floor. And that's what it is.
Oh, you mean it had already kind of came out.
Yeah.
But you didn't finish wiping?
I think it was like I didn't finish wiping because I was so out of it that I didn't really, make that.
This all makes a lot of sense to me. No, this all makes kind of sense.
You know?
So it was like kind of I get it. So there was some sort of, clump that was still there. And you kind of were out of it and didn't do a thorough, or didn't just kind of missed it, missed
just
a spot.
Actually,
sometimes you can miss a spot if you're not really paying attention, you know?
I don't know. Do you use baby wipes?
No, I used to use Witch Hazel. But I think I found a ultimate, like after using it for a long period of time, it started doing weird things to my
anus.
Do
you mean Witch Hazel? What do you, like on a cotton ball? What do you mean?
No, on toilet paper.
And you would douse the Witch Hazel?
I wouldn't douse it. I would dampen it. I would just, it would be a bottle of, of Witch Hazel, and I would sort of just get the tissue and put it on the top of the thing.
Using Witch Hazel for that.
Oh, yeah. It has soothing qualities, supposedly. Oh. In fact, there are Witch Hazel wipes you can get, too.
Okay.
Dickinson's. Mm, okay. And but I stopped using it because I think it was doing something weird to the skin on my butt crack.
Is it drying?
I don't know what it was doing, but I think it was weird and I stopped it and it's been better since. But I do use water all the time. I'll wet the, but I don't use baby wipes because I don't want any kind of detergent or something like that. I don't want something like that going in there. But at that time, but I use water.
Mm-hmm.
And also baby wipes, it's a little impractical too because they're thicker, and then you'll have to flush more often. And it's kind of not as practical. I like a roll. I like Scott tissue. I'm a Scott guy.
You like Scott?
Yeah.
I like Charmin.
Really, you like Charmin?
Yeah,
huh?
I like how spongy it is.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then it's like kind of flaky, and then
scent. The flakiness. Mm. Yeah, because that's the problem I have with it is it's too flaky.
Yeah.
I like something that's that's not going to flake. Out because what happens in flakes, right?
What
flakes lead to dingleberries?
Is that what that?
Well, I don't know. They do for some people. I'm sure your butthole is probably pretty nice and tidy.
Mine is very obviously a big, big dingleberry fat. That's what it was. That's what fell out. Is a big, big, big dingleberry.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that if you have hair in your butt crack, which I do, and it's more prone to.
Right.
Dingleberries and flakier tissue can lead to that.
That's true. I guess, I shave everything, so it's kind of not, there's nothing back there.
I kind of, for some reason, thought that that would be probably pretty clean back there as far as hair goes.
Yeah, you have to shave it because if I don't, then it gets in the way of everything. And then it's like really dingleberry like crazy.
Yeah.
Like it's just dirty.
Well, then you can't really use Charmin. You got to switch to Scott.
So I'm fortunate about the Charmin.
But also, I like some more, what's the word? I mean, I just feel like it's too flimsy, Charmin. And Cottonelle is another one I don't use. I hate. I try to avoid Cottonelle and Charmin really at all costs. Yeah.
Okay.
But Scott is more sturdy. I like sturdy.
Right. So you like it more waxy?
It's not waxy. It's just sturdier. It's more. Mm. It's not as flaky and powdery. It's just more. I don't know. It's more like a. Anyway, it's just better.
Well, I like to shit at the park sometimes. I have a park down the street. Yeah.
Why do you go there? If it's down the street, can't you just come back up?
Well, usually, because I'm walking the dog down there. And
you get inspired and you just like, you got it.
Yeah.
Or you want to do it with the dog.
I want to do it with the dog. But no, it's also because it's the timing, because I usually have coffee. I get up in the morning and I have coffee and then I walk the dog to the park. And that's almost always the perfect time to shit. Like in the morning, right after coffee, after about a 10-minute walk.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Because if it's close by,
mm-hmm.
I would think, I'm just going to hold this.
Well, I mean, home. I just like
unless
it.
Unless you enjoy public
I do pooling. Like the public. Well, I like it. And also, but the toilet paper tissue there is very waxy because it's the park toilet paper.
Yeah.
So it's like this kind of cheap, but it's got like a don't like if you pick up a donut.
Like, oh, it's
you know
like
you
that?
Get, you know, like it's like waxy
it's
like that.
It's like the covers, the mm-hmm. the toilet bowl covers. But yeah, right. Or a donut paper.
A donut paper.
Hmm.
And it's really waxy and it's like it kind of like scratches. So I kind of like that.
Scratches. That's pretty sturdy. That's kind of cool,
it's
I guess.
It's kind of a little abrasive. You think you've got to scratch the shit out.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I like
that's
that.
That's kind of good, I guess. Yeah, that's pretty
thorough. So, I mean, that to me, that's appropriate in the morning, I think.
That's pretty thorough. So you don't use water? Or you do baby wipes, I guess.
I do have baby wipes, and then I have a bidet. Oh, so yeah, I'll use that downstairs with water.
Yeah.
Not with soap.
But you didn't use that one night, I guess.
Not that one night. I was too sick. But I do like, I like the bidet because it's like in Japan, when you go to Japan... like, is it where is Isagawa lives? you can have like the water, and then there's like a blow dry your asshole.
Really?
Yeah, or like a spray, and then like water, and then like it'll blow it dry.
I'm kind of concerned about using a bidet. I've never really used one.
It's nice if you like water.
Well, I just don't. I feel like if I blast my acorn, it's gonna like maybe. Splash poo into other parts, you know, like
yeah.
on my cheeks, you know,
I
or something
that.
Like
yeah.
that, you know?
Yeah.
And so I kind of just feel like it feels risky. It feels like there's not enough control for me. I want a
right.
little more control. I don't trust that this thing is going to blast correctly. Because also that, I mean, you can probably adjust the strength of it, but
yeah.
some of those things blast.
They really do.
Blast the acorn hardcore.
Mine is not a blaster. It's just, mine is like a water fountain.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know,
see,
it makes
I'm afraid
an arc.
Like the water is going to, this poo water is going to kind of drip down into my sort of... perineum area or whatever
and then
maybe even to my ball area too, you know.
Yeah, so you have to, well, you just have to be aware of what's happening. But I remember there was a guy, he was like this really rich gay guy who worked on Star Search and he actually had a bidet, but above the bidet it was like a porcelain shelf that had like Tucks and Preparation H and like all of these like ointments and creams and stuff, and it was like a first ass kit.
Uh-huh.
And it was above
first ass kit.
It was above the bidet, and I was like, oh, I wish I had that.
Yeah.
I really like, so now I do have a bidet, but yeah. I don't have a first ass kit.
Oh, well, you gotta live out the dream, you know.
I know, I have to fully, but I haven't really needed any of the other stuff.
Were you on Star Search before?
Yeah.
Yeah. You won it?
No, I was on I didn't win. I came in like second. I was on Star Search International.
Oh.
So it was like I was representing Korea, which is super weird.
Really?
Doesn't make any sense.
Sure, yeah.
But they didn't know what to do with me in the 90s, early 90s, late 80s doing comedy.
Yeah.
So that was a TV gig. You're too young for Star Search, I think.
Oh, I but just out of curiosity, were you ever friendly with Henry Cho at all? Or?
I know him. Yeah, he's a great guy. I did gigs with him.
Yeah.
I love Henry. He's a nice guy. I never see him. I mean, he doesn't live here, I guess. He lives in Tennessee still.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, he's
Texas
cool.
Or something?
He's a cool guy. Yeah. But
did you guys ever bond on having the same name?
Yeah.
And being Asian in comedy
Korean,
and stuff?
Yeah. But he's very, he's such a... He's such a very southern gentleman.
Totally, yeah.
You know, he plays golf and he loves that. But yeah, I remember he used to be like the host of like, remember Friday Night Videos?
Friday, yeah. Or they just called it Friday Night, too.
Yeah.
They called it Friday Night. It was on, you know, on Fridays after, just late at night, after the late show. Late night. It was after late night.
Yeah.
It was a Friday. It was a Friday night, and then they called it Fridays,
mm-hmm.
but he hosted that, yeah.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. He was like the only Korean that I knew in show business at that time. Do you know the other Filipinos in show business at that time or earlier on?
Oh, well, I mean, back like then?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, there was Al Manalo.
Of course.
I think we might have talked
about
him.
Yeah, we talked about Al.
Last time. And then there's, Rob Schneider. You
know, that's right. You know, I always forget about him.
Yeah.
He's half Filipino, right?
That's right, yeah. And then there's some other half Filipinos that were probably after you, but like before me, like Tony Diompko. You didn't know a guy.
I know
Tony Diompko? He was in San Francisco. I mean, I don't know what like level you're talking about. I mean, mm-hmm. he's, you know, but yeah, Tony D'Amco, and well, there's a lot of Filipinos. I mean,
yeah,
especially in the Bay Area.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Dan Gabriel was another one.
Oh, I mean, that's right.
I mean, this is not yeah. Anyway, yeah.
So is Dan half?
Dan Gabriel's half Filipino. Yeah. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's this guy. There was this guy more my time. His name is Joey Gila, who's half Filipino too. But anyway, there's a lot. I mean, I can go on and on. There's so many Filipinos. But of that time, though, mm-hmm. Or the 90s or something like that. I don't really. I mean,
yeah.
Just the ones I mentioned, I guess.
Was Mitch Mullaney Filipino? No.
Mitch Mullaney?
He died. He was a comedian. He, I don't know why I have it in my mind that he was Filipino, but maybe not. Somebody told me once that Steve Perry was Korean. I think I heard that,
he does look a little.
He looks a little Asian.
Asian or something.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Ooh. Hmm.
And then, you know, I mean, there's a lot of Asians, you know, people who are part Asian or something mm-hmm. like that. Keanu Reeves, of course. And,
that's right. You know. That's right. And then, but we're Asian, and that's when the show is Mortal Minorities this month. We talk about Asians and crime.
Right. And do you feel like we should get back to?
I don't know. No, I think that we did a good job.
Oh, really?
With him.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool, yeah.
I mean, I just want to.
That's so crazy that he didn't. He did this horrendous crime.
Right.
And
didn't pay for it.
Didn't. And yeah, what? How? That's crazy. And he's a celebrity now.
Kind of.
Or
yeah.
He's a commentator, and he's
yeah.
He's just one of these. That's crazy.
It's so crazy that you.
I mean,
could
that's
just,
so weird.
You know,
I mean,
like I ate
nobody
somebody.
Cares.
I don't, it seems like somebody should.
I mean, that's crazy. Imagine if, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer became, you know, a judge on The X Factor or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it's,
I mean,
like, with, yeah, like or, they're commenting on it. I mean, it's just a very strange thing. And like, I don't know.
You got Jeffrey, yeah, like one of the, we got, you know, like, you know, Jenny McCarthy on the panel for mm-hmm. The Masked Singer. And we got Ted Bundy and, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer.
It's so weird. It's so weird, but maybe when you commit a crime, hopefully somehow you pay with your guilt and remorse, which I don't know if he has, but it just seems like a strange story.
What are you fascinated about with regards to these types of stories?
I think,
or is it because it's interesting that you don't really, we don't hear about Asian people doing
yeah,
these kind of things as much?
It's,
you know?
It's like Asians who are, you know, kind of in these groups of stories that are like, it's such a weird thing because we don't really see ourselves often. And when we do, it's kind of a shock. But something like this is a real shock. This story is a little bit different because he wasn't an American immigrant. He was a sort of immigrant in France
yeah.
and did it. So still a minority, but now he's back in Japan. But I think it's interesting just because we're so unused to really seeing ourselves in so many ways. Mm. And also when we are seen, it's kind of in a model minority way.
Mm-hmm.
Like Asians are always called sort of the model minority. But here it's obviously not that.
Yeah. So you like this sort of, you're interested in this sort of
yeah.
the bad boys of Asia or whatever, or the bad boys of Asian or heritage, you know?
Yeah.
Like
where the sort of model myth goes wrong.
Were you rebellious at all?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
I think I still
yeah,
am.
Yeah, I think we might have touched on that.
Yeah, but I think...
Oh, you're still rebellious.
I think I'm still rebellious.
You're still a bad boy.
I think so.
Uh-huh.
But also, at the same time, you know, kind of comfortable in growing older and, you know, enjoying being good to myself. So
uh-huh.
So rebellion, I think, calms down. Were you always rebellious?
Always? I mean,
yes.
I'm never rebellious.
Well, you're your own person.
In that way, yeah, I've always tried to be true to myself.
Because you're a very unique person. You also don't have a smartphone.
Yeah.
Very different in this world.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a big rebellious
well,
thing.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I guess there's something rebellious about that. But I've never tried. Well, look, I guess in this sense, yes. And I never did drugs or drank alcohol, mm-hmm. and all my friends did when I was younger.
Yeah.
And that was sort of, somewhat of a rebellious thing.
Right.
But really, I think ultimately, though, I kind of feel like I would like to do things my way, but as long as it's not, doesn't seem like it's going to hurt anybody or
yeah.
something, or hurt myself. So
yeah.
I guess that's where my rebellion stops, is like, I don't want to do something that's... negative to somebody else.
And
or
you're
something,
not
going to
eat anybody. You're not going
to
eat anybody.
I don't want to eat anybody.
Unless you have to.
Yeah, unless I have to. Yeah.
Yeah.
And unless you're there too, I think.
Okay.
I think it would be more fun if we did it together.
Okay. You know? I think
not
that's,
fun, but I mean.
No, I think that I think would be good. Be,
you know, it has to be somebody who's. I think it'd be kind of. Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I think that'd be a little bit better of an experience to do it with somebody who's doing it for the first time too, or something.
Let's eat Bart Davenport.
Oh shoot! Okay, yeah, and then he'll eat. Then you two can eat me, and then whatever, and then we'll eat you, and
okay,
so
perfect.
On and so forth. You know, just like the talking about situation.
I love it. Thank you, Brent.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you.
You're the best. And you're the most talked about guest that we have ever had.
Gee whiz. I mean, I'm very flattered.
You're mentioned every episode.
I can't imagine that I'm...
Every single one.
Well, gee whiz. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Brent.
Thanks for mentioning. Yeah. Is this it?
Yeah, we're finished now.
Is it okay? Can I mention a couple things?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
No.
Keep
going.
When does this come out, actually?
Well, we can put it out whenever you want.
Well, it's not a big deal, but I mean, it's not a big deal, but if anyone's in the Los Angeles area, I'm doing a show on February 22nd.
Okay.
And it's at the Improv, and it's at
8
p.m.
Oh, good.
And it'll be my own show.
I'm going to write it down. Because I want to go.
Yeah.
Because that sounds great. At the Improv?
Yeah, at the Improv, yeah. February 22nd, 8 p.m. at the Improv in Hollywood, California, on Melrose.
Oh, yeah,
and
I'm coming.
If anybody is not in the Los Angeles area, or if you're in the Los Angeles area and you don't want to go out, I have this stand-up comedy special, this hour special, and it's on Amazon, and it's called Appealing to the Mainstream, for anybody who's interested.
I like that.
Appealing to the... it's talking about being rebellious, you know? It's called Appealing to the Mainstream. I mean, it's an ironic title. But,
I know.
But Appealing to the Mainstream, it's on Amazon. Check it out if you want to see that.
That's perfect.
That's it.
Thank you, Brent. It's taking over my dreams, waking me out of my sleep. I think I'm coming apart.
The Margaret Show is an Erios production with editing by Tracy Levy and original music by Garrison Starr. Never miss an episode of The Margaret Show. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. I don't know where to start. Coming out of the dark. Coming out of the dark.
Coming out of the dark. Yeah, coming out of the dark. Erios. Powered by Acast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.